And the author, the 20th century writer Camus, called that desire of the rational mind to understand, encountering a universe that is silent. Camus called that the absurd. So if you wanted a contemporary version of Ecclesiastes, read The Myth of Sisyphus by Camus. It's a very... the elements of Camus are in Ecclesiastes. Camus asks the question, I want to live with what I can know and only what I can know. Well, that's the speaker in Ecclesiastes. He wants to live with what he can know and only what he can know. It turns out he can't know much. He can think he knows, but he's not a fool, this speaker. So he talks about those who think they know. Those who think they are sages, he says. And that too, he says, is emptiness. Socrates says that the beginning of wisdom, and Socrates predates the book of Ecclesiastes. Socrates says the beginning of wisdom is the realization that one does not know. And a few people reach that beginning. Because it's much better to know. It's even better to think I know and tell you what I know. And hopefully you'll agree, you'll know it too. And then we can all know it together. And then we can, give the group of us who all know it together a name. And then we can be for or against the group over there who knows something dissimilar. And then they can be the enemy. Because what they know isn't what we know. Therefore, they don't really know what they think they do, because we're the ones who know. And this can get kind of gnarly, because people take it kind of seriously. So in the Middle Ages, you can have an Inquisition. For example, in the name of what some people thought they knew. And in our time, you can have a world filled with violence in the name of what people think they know. So as he points out, suffering is always with us, whether it's individual or collective. And most of it is a result of what we think we know. And when we do it in groups, it gets worse. He says everything's been given a name. There's a word for everything, he says. And you all know this, of course. And the more educated you are, the more words you have for it. You know, when you're a little kid running around, you don't have any words for it yet, you're having a pretty good time. Because you don't, it's all like one thing. But then your parents start naming it for you, teaching you words. And as you learn your words, you start thinking you know what things are, because you have a word for them. And the more words you get for things, he says, the more confused you'll become. So those of you with the most education, according to Solomon, are the most confused. Because you have the most words. And as he says, this time that's flying by, and this change that's occurring, and this death that's inevitable, has nothing to do with our words for things, for each other, for other groups. So he says the words too are emptiness. So Socrates says the beginning of wisdom is the realization that one does not know. And in Ecclesiastes, the beginning of wisdom is the awareness of emptiness, what he calls emptiness. It's a beginning. It's not a conclusion. emptiness, emptiness, all is empty. For the writer of these words, that's a starting point. Most people never get to the starting point. Emptiness, emptiness, all is emptiness, because most of us are caught up in the play, in our part in the play, in improving our part in the play, and so we never realize that it's all fleeting, and that it culminates in death, especially in America. This is a country that really doesn't understand that it's all going to change, and it's all been done before, and you're going to get old, no matter how many facelifts you have, and you're going to die, even if you freeze your body afterward, if you have the money. You're still dead. You're gone. Maybe some relatives will go down and view the frozen body occasionally. Hi, George. We're going to bring you back soon. It's only costing us 200,000 a year to keep you frozen. So you can see why he recommends facing the facts. Those of you who have studied Buddhism, and there are quite a number of you in the room, a lot of the book of Ecclesiastes is just the different formulations of what Buddha called the First Noble Truth, which stated simply is there is suffering. But when elaborated, it has to do with impermanence and death. But in America, if you bring up impermanence, death, the D word, not cool. You're supposed to be, it's kind of over when you're 30. It's just downhill from there. And some of us buy into that kind of nonsense. So we think we're over the hill because we're not whatever age anymore. And the people who are the proper age could die in their sleep tonight. There is no proper age. One good thing he says about this whole thing is that two are better than one. It's better to go through it with another person than alone. That doesn't mean you have to be married to the other person, or the other person they have to have any kind of quote relationship. Just someone you can go through it with who understands that you understand that it's all empty. And that you don't know what's going on. And the ones who claim to know what's going on don't know what the hell they're talking about. And the ones who do know what's going on aren't talking, as Lao Tzu points out. And so does this speaker in Ecclesiastes, because in spite of the alleged pessimism, and it's an alleged pessimism because he's not saying anything that isn't true. So either you have to accept that and then go from there, which is what he does, or you accept that and become a pessimist and say life sucks, you just get old and die, may as well just drink, have another drink, you know, doesn't matter what I do, I'm just going to die anyway, it's all going to change, may as well not take anything seriously. Some people would have that kind of a response to the notion of emptiness and constant flux. He says that's the response of fools. Fools, he says, talk much and say little. And they stare into the sky, and they stare into the breeze, and they fold their arms and don't do anything, because there's nothing worth doing, because it's all empty.